We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
Wake that ass up. The Breakfast Club is on.
Right. Yeah.
I am feeling blessed. I'm talking to the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to y'all.
For a lot of people in the hip-hop generation, the Breakfast Club is where people get their information on the topics, on the artists, and everything like that. In that aspect, radio is still important.
The Breakfast Club.
When my name come up, respect it.
Good morning, USA.
Good morning, Angela.
It cut off a little early, so you could tell it wasn't real.
Yes, it did.
It was like
yo.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne is running late. Good morning, it's Thursday.
Woo.
How you feeling?
I'm pretty good. I've been having like a really long week because, you know, I was away for a week and a half doing all kinds of things. So when you come back, you're trying to catch up on everything, have every meeting you need to have.
Yep.
So that's basically what I've been trying to catch up on. So every day it's been like back to back work. But okay. I enjoy it. And, you know, I was at my coffee shop. I had a meeting there and then I had to do something else on Zoom. Then I came back to have a whole nother situation. I'm very into theater, so I was interviewing this woman who's going to be directing a play that'll be in Brooklyn, and one of the lead actors from the play is called Wedding Band by Alice Childress, and it's about an interracial relationship. It's set in South Carolina, so we were having a little sit down. But the good thing about having a coffee shop is anytime you get tired, you know what you do?
Go get some coffee.
Exactly.
I have to get in the coffee. I just pause. I don't like hot things in my mouth. Like, I can't eat.
You can
hot
get
pizza.
Iced coffee.
Yeah, it don't taste the same. I'm gonna try again.
I actually love. I had an iced mocha yesterday for people, and a lot of people ask me who don't drink coffee, like if I want to try it, what's something good to try? And I like a mocha because it has chocolate in it, so that's always good. Or a latte, and I always use oat milk or almond milk instead of regular milk. And I don't add like a lot of extra things in it because coffee has a lot of health benefits. Like I always tell people that you may not know, but it definitely keeps you up. And I feel like I'm still up from yesterday.
I'm gonna try some coffee. Like yesterday, I took my dad to the game, to the Knicks game. The Knicks played the Nets last night.
I bet the Nets won, right? I know that's right.
They did. They actually did. The Knicks were up by 20. Nets came back and won last night.
Yeah, the Nets was just like, let's put on a show, you know?
And they did. And I thought about it. You know, me and my dad go to a bunch of football games. We haven't gone to a basketball game. And when we were there yesterday, my dad was like, yeah, you remember when I used to take these games as a kid? We used to sit in section 300 all the way up there. So it was pretty cool to sit on a court side where he could watch the game and really enjoy himself. So he had a great time last night. So shout out to Pop Dukes. I know he's probably tired because we didn't get back too late, but shout out to Pop Dukes.
That's great because y'all are both Nets fans. So that's dope that y'all went to the game together.
Knicks fans, but
I thought you said you was a Nets fan now.
No, I'm a Knicks fan. I've always been a Knicks fan, but I want the Nets. You know, I mean, I'm a New Yorker, so I always want New York to win, regardless of what it is. So, all right. Now, today we have some special guests joining us. We have the mayor of Atlantic City, Marty Smalls. He'll be joining us.
Mayor Marty.
And also, Quinita Brunson. She's the creator of Abbott Elementary. We're going to be talking to her as well.
Her other name was Quinta, but okay.
Is it Quinta? I know Charlamagne did a one-on-one with us, so I really don't know the young lady. Is it Quinta or Quinita?
I think it's Quinta.
Quinta sure. Brunson. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to mess up her name, but it's Quinta Brunson.
All right. So we'll be kicking it with her in a little bit now. We got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, Floyd Mayweather is returning to the ring. We'll give you some details about that. Also, people still doing fraud. Somebody had to plead guilty in a $32 million COVID relief fraud case.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Do it and make you feel
That's like my favorite song right now, by the way. This is like my favorite song. right now.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yeezy?
Floyd Mayweather is returning to the ring in May. He's doing an exhibition boxing match, and it will literally be on a helicopter landing pad in Dubai, according to TMZ Sports.
Who are you fighting?
He'll take on Dangerous Don Moore. It's an 8-round exhibition fight happening on May 14th. It's being called the Global Titan Fight Series.
Well, how much is he getting
paid? Yeah, I said the same thing.
That's the first question people have.
That's right? The only reason he's doing it. He's only doing it for the money, which is, I mean, which is fine. You know, 40-something years old, you're probably still in the ring sparring anyway just for, you know, exercise. So why not?
I see him training with AB. I see them running and working out with each other, but I wonder how much he's getting paid.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a double-digit million-dollar payday.
Yeah, we're going to see soon. All right. Now, a woman in Oklahoma has pleaded guilty in a $32 million COVID relief fraud scam. It involved more than 150 fraudulent applications for loans from the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, which Congress passed to help businesses survive the pandemic. She was part of that scheme. And her name is Amanda J. Gloria. She's 45 years old. She pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit bank fraud and money laundering. She was charged in June with helping a New York man get a loan for close to $1 million. And she also submitted and got around $421,000 from the pandemic relief program using a trucking business that she owned. But that business hasn't been active since 2017. And then she conspired to submit at least 153 fraudulent PPP applications on behalf of 111 entities.
Well, all you people that got them fraudulent PPP loans, just know the coast is not clear.
Not
okay? The heat is still on. You could be in prison by Christmas.
All right, and six state attorneys generals threatened the NFL with a probe over treatment of how they've treated female employees. So they said, our offices will use the full weight of our authority to investigate and prosecute allegations of harassment, discrimination, or retaliation by employers throughout our states, including at the NFL. And the attorneys general from New York, Illinois, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Washington wrote a letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. They said, all of this is entirely unacceptable and potentially unlawful. All but one of the states have an NFL franchise, and the state of New York is home to NFL headquarters. They said in New York, where the NFL is headquartered, the office of the attorney general has never hesitated to take action to protect employers from sexual harassment and abuse, whether they are entry-level employees of the Weinstein Company or servers and bartenders at Batali-owned restaurants. So there's some potential sexual harassment allegations that have happened. Former employees told the New York Times that they were held back and criticized for having an aggressive tone and often unfair stereotype of women, especially women of color, who try to advance in a male-dominated workplace. Other women reported that in a training intended to improve sensitivity on the issue, you won't believe this, they were asked to raise their hand to self-identify if they had been victims of domestic violence or knew someone who had. They said this is not doing better. Anti-discrimination laws in many states, including New York, prohibit employers from subjecting domestic violence victims as well as women and people of color to a hostile work environment.
The NFL is an old school boys club. It's never had a reckoning. Like, I mean, women probably have never even been considered in the NFL.
Hmm. Imagine you're being abused and they ask you in a meeting, raise your hand if you've been
abused. That sounds crazy.
I mean, come on.
It sounds about right for the NFL to me. That's it. The NFL's an old school boys club. Old school. Old school. That's old school.
Old school white man.
Exactly. It's old school white man boys club. Exactly.
Old school old white man's boys club.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. Phone lines are wide open. Again, 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Sheba.
Hey, Sheba, good morning. Get it off your chest.
My boss had me come in 2 hours early to pass out snacks and take pictures of the drivers. There are no snacks. He didn't set anything up, so I just came in 2 hours early for no reason.
No snacks. You're
getting paid, though. You're getting paid, though.
I'm getting paid, but I woke up 2 hours early for no reason.
Shouldn't you want breakfast?
Do I want breakfast?
Yeah.
No, I don't want breakfast. I want my sleep.
Oh, no, that's even better. You're right.
If I have to choose between food and sleep,
sleep. All the time.
It sounds like you choosing. It sounds like you choosing violence this morning. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, he gonna get a piece of my mind when I'm
going. Absolutely.
Well, have a good one, mama.
Thank you guys for keeping me up, though. I appreciate y'all.
All right.
Thank you. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on, Envy? Hey, I just gotta say, good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
Morning.
First time getting on the Breakfast Club.
Your phone breaking up, bro. First time on Breakfast Club, but your phone sound like trash. Your phone ain't ready, even if you are.
Hey, my phone ready. Don't worry about that, Dr. Charlemagne. I'm good.
Okay.
But I got to shout out my sister. It's her birthday today. She's a Howard alumni, way better than Hampton. Don't even play Envy.
I feel sorry for her.
Shout out Rachel. not me. Hey, and I just got to shout out my friend on Instagram, Jellag Forever. I don't know what y'all doing. It's a Detroit brand. Amazing. Y'all go check them out. It's dope.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. And y'all be seeing you at your car show, my boy.
Are you going to Houston?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll see you there, man. Bring your family. Atlanta. Okay.
Oh, yes, sir.
And you can bring that Howard alum with you. It's all good. We all HBCU. It's all love.
Hey, it's all love. Oh, yeah. Hey, Envy, give your clothes to your son, Logan, my boy. High school done.
Wow. Have a good one.
Damn.
He was all with the insults.
Cold give your world. Boy, give your what clothes to hell? Your son.
Hello, who's this?
Damn.
Yo, what is T?
Yo, what up? Get it off your chest.
Man, ain't nothing. Really, I ain't had nothing to say, man. I ain't think I'm going to get through.
You're not prepared.
So you wasn't even ready.
No, I ain't a man. On the way to work, about to be late, about like you, man.
Hey, it happens, brother.
I know, man. I'm
y'all so
Carolina,
funny.
Man. 803.
803 to Metro.
All right.
You know, Tankerville. We're going to put Tankerville on the map. I don't know if you know nothing about that.
What the hell is Tankerville?
He's going to put it on the map.
Jenkinsville.
Oh, yeah. Salute to Jenkinsville.
Yeah, man. I had to put it on the map. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my nephew, too, man. He a rapper. He good. Check him out. His name Trap Roof. Check his music out. Blast off. But that's about all I got to say. But anyway, I appreciate what all y'all do, man. Charlemagne. Hey, I mess with you, man. My old lady always be talking about that shit, man. But like, man, you just love Charlemagne. Hey, I mess with appreciate what you
hey,
do.
Hey, man, we country cousins, brother. South Carolina all day.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's up, Envy?
What's up, Trav?
Yee, welcome back.
Hey, baby.
I miss your voice, girl. I miss your voice, bro.
I miss you too, Trav.
What's up, Sar?
Peace, sis. I heard you was being a straight-up thot this weekend at Dreamville.
Oh, God, leave me alone. That's right. My broke ass is at Dreamville, fam.
We know that's right.
Oh, man. You know what? I forgot you was broke, Trav. You ain't had no business there this weekend.
None.
Unless you was working.
None.
Was that temp job there? Was you setting up a stage or something?
That was an investment into his happiness.
No, Yee. If you would have heard him last week, Yee, you would have felt you would have.
You ain't got no business. First of all, how you got there? Who took you?
Zamani. Shout out to Zamani.
Salute to Zamani. Love Zamani.
Yeah, she gave me tickets, and I went down there with Tay and DJ Spacey, and we had a ball.
Okay. Oh, okay.
How was J. Cole?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The LeBron James rap. It was everything. Y'all know how I feel about J. Cole, and he put on one of the best performances and one of the best festivals. Mind you, I've been to Made in America a million times, but nothing on Dreamville Fest. On Dreamville Fest. But Envy,
yes,
speaking of being broke, listen, your book is about to come out. Don't be letting these people call up there. I bought your book. My broke self bought your book.
There you go.
Don't let these people call up there
and ask for a free book.
Free book from you.
Ain't nobody told you a dumbass to buy a book, Trav. We definitely would have gave you one free because we know your financial condition.
I support y'all. I support
you. You do, Trav.
I appreciate that.
You do, Trav.
I appreciate that. That's real. And I appreciate everybody that pre-ordered the book. The numbers are great. I just want to say thank you. If you haven't pre-ordered it, pre-order it. It comes out April 19th. And thank you for supporting Travis. Me and wife put a lot into this book.
Travis, I want you to get back on your feet. I don't want you to get charged for things like books.
Yes, sir.
I sent my song to the email.
Okay.
All right.
He saw it already, Trav. He lied to you last week and told you he was going to play it in the mix.
No, you said I was going to play it in the mix.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't say that. You said that.
You're right, Trav. Damn, Trav. That's still your way of saying I'm not playing your record, Trav.
I didn't say that. I did.
You're going both ways right now, Envy. Figure it out.
Goodness gracious. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and yesterday we were talking about T.I. and Lauren Knight, the comedian who they went back and forth while she was performing in the comedy club. There was a lot of aftermath from that. Well, the two of them have reconciled. We'll tell you about that conversation.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk T.I.
It's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, yesterday we were talking about comedian Lauren Knight and T.I. getting into it after he interrupted her set. He did not like a joke that she made about sexual assault allegations that he faced last year. Well, the two of them have since made up, and here he is talking to her while she's on stage.
I'm here to protect you. I'm here to protect you and correct you. You hear me? I'm here for your protection and correction. I'm not here to do anything harmful to you. I love you. I support you.
All right, he posted, I've said from my entrance into the world of comedy that I intend to use my light to shine on others, to bring awareness to those who also have love and respect for the art form and the spirit of that. Everyone, I'd like to introduce you to Lauren at She's Lauren K. She's a young up-and-coming comic on the scene in Atlanta. Check her out. She's a young Black woman fighting to use her voice for laughter, and I understand that may take us down dark roads at times, but there's always an opportunity to find a beacon of light and produce a positive outcome. Here's what else he had to say as he gave her her props.
Every time something bad happens, there's an incredible opportunity for something good to happen.
And I will be on his stand-up special on Netflix because he's going to get one because he's famous. And I'll be there. I will be riding. If anybody, I won't ride it, but I will ride a coattail.
Hey, I ain't got nothing but love for you. I ain't got nothing but some integrity. I mean, love and respect for you. And I think you have an incredible amount of integrity. And I think you handled yourself with integrity in this moment. And I think it's an incredible opportunity for us to be an example for other people who have discrepancies.
Period.
I respect it. I respect it. But who won the $1 million bet, though? Didn't he bet her $1 million that he didn't call it a B word? I need to know who won the bet.
Well, it's over now.
He was joking.
It's squashed the beef.
It's comedy.
Let's make it show. Okay. Well, I'm glad that the comedians could get along. I don't want to see no beef in the comic community. T.I. is a comedian now.
Okay.
Yes.
And The Weeknd will be joining Swedish House Mafia as Coachella co-headliners. They are replacing Kanye. You know, Kanye did drop out of it, and it's less than 2 weeks away. And so that's what it is. Now, he was supposed to get $8.5 million to perform. And according to reports, Coachella tried to not pay The Weeknd as much as they were going to pay Kanye. It was $8 million plus a $500,000 production fee. So The Weeknd has demanded that he get that same amount of money and that they don't just put that money back in their pockets. So.
Oh, yeah, I would too.
Well, yep. The Weeknd is The Weeknd, but it's still Kanye West, right? Like, it comes down to who would be the bigger draw, don't you think?
Nope, bottom of the ninth is bottom of the ninth. You need a performer. You need an artist. Kanye dropped out. You need somebody. You need me.
I don't think nobody. I don't think that's not going to stop nobody from going to Coachella and me.
People are going to be upset about
well,
it.
Well, it's a Sunday headliner because, you know, they have three different days.
Yeah.
So
Coachella's an experience, though. I'm sure Coachella already was sold out before they announced Kanye.
But I heard people saying that they were upset because they wanted to see Kanye.
I'm
sure. He's not there.
And if The Weeknd can get the $8 million, get the $8 million. I'm just saying from a business perspective, I would be like, well, you're not necessarily Kanye. You are The Weeknd. But you
Coachella
know,
got it.
Of course they got it.
They had the money. And the other thing is I'm filling in at the last minute.
Yeah, last minute, I got things to do. I could have been on vacation. No, you got to pay me for my time.
You're a little desperate to find somebody of a huge status to fill in. So
I'll take Yee's advice on this. I'm not listening to Envy.
What?
I'm not listening to
Envy. You're not going
to
say nothing about Okay.
What? I'm just saying.
Envy might have a personal grab. You know.
It's personal for him.
It's a little personal. It is. I ain't going to lie. It's a little personal.
Envy, run me my money.
Bottom of the night, run me my money.
Go get your week. I'm about to say, go get your weekend. Go get your weekend money. No. Go get your money weekend.
I don't know
weekend.
What you're saying.
Yes.
All right. So, but Envy's still wearing that chain. Jesse Williams is terrified of being nude on stage in Take Me Out. He told Page Six exclusively for his Broadway debut that he was terrified to strip down. He said, but then I noted that was what I asked God for. I asked to be terrified. I asked to do something that was scary and challenging and made me earn it and made me feel alive and not comfortable. He announced back in May 2021 that he was exiting Grey's Anatomy after 12 seasons, and he is now starring in the revival of the 2002 play as Darren Lemming, a baseball player who recently came out as gay. Take me out.
Give me some context. Why is he butt naked on stage?
It's part of the play.
So it's just butt naked.
That's all you heard, huh? Just butt naked on stage. That's
I mean, I want to know what's
it's
the context.
It's a three-act play, and I mean, I've never seen the play, but like I said, it's a baseball player who recently came out as gay. It's called Take Me Out.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the play.
I mean,
pretty clever,
by the way,
play on words.
I've been to a lot of plays. I can't remember seeing anybody just butt naked on stage.
I actually have. I saw Frankie and Johnny with my mom, and there was nudity in that. And you're not allowed to take pictures in the theater. I know that's a fear that people have. I don't want to be naked and vulnerable, and then someone takes a picture and posts it.
Yeah, especially if you ain't got that hang time. If you a grower and not a shower, I wouldn't want to be on there with all my shrinkage.
Right. And I'm sure that your penis gets terrified, too. Like, it's just like you're terrified.
Testicles get closer to your body.
It comes out like, I'm scared.
Lord have mercy.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Yes. And let's talk about these major war crimes being discovered in Ukraine after Joe Biden has announced new sanctions on Russia. We'll tell you some of what's being said is happening.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Hey, it's Angela Yee. Have you taken a look at the General Insurance lately? Switch to the General, and you could save over $500 on your car insurance. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply. Hello.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
All right. Well, let's start with Joe Biden. He has declared major war crimes have been discovered in Ukraine as Russian forces retreat from areas around Kiev. And here is what Joe Biden had to say.
These oligarchs and their family members are not allowed to hold on to their wealth in Europe and the United States and keep these yachts while children in Ukraine are being killed, displaced from their homes. Civilians executed in cold blood, bodies dumped into mass graves. A sense of brutality and inhumanity.
So what do you do when somebody is a war criminal? Do you go get them?
Well, what they're doing now is they're saying, similar to the January 6th attacks on the Capitol, they are actually looking at video and they're documenting. They said millions of Ukrainians with cell phones are recording incidents and interactions, large and small, and they're going to be able to use that to prosecute people.
They haven't
to identify them and prosecute real people.
Yeah, they haven't even really taken real action to anybody that invaded the Capitol on the 6th.
Oh, no, they
You know what I'm saying? So why would that be a good comparison?
They have identified people off of videos and off of pictures. And so that's what they're doing now. They have, like I said, millions of recordings of interactions. So in criminal court, you can be prosecuted for those things. And
Are we watching the war, though? Am I tripping? Are we watching the war?
Yes, we are.
Are we seeing the bodies on television?
Absolutely. The bombs, the missiles.
What's the investigation? What needs to be investigated?
It's on individuals. So if you see, if you have a video of a person doing something, and that's what they're making sure that they're creating a database. And they said it's geolocated photographs and video showing incidents of civilian harm that include hundreds of incidents. You can view it by simply clicking on a map. And then you use that information to identify these real people.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Putin the whole time.
No, he's talking about like soldiers, everything, because what they're doing is even with buildings that clearly said in Russian children, they're bombing those buildings. They're killing people on the streets, civilians, and those are war crimes. You're not, you know, so they're working to bring war criminals to trial.
But I feel like the biggest head honcho in all of this would be Putin, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so go get the head.
But the soldiers can't just be out here doing things like I said, bombing children's hospitals and all of that. They're accountable, too.
They're taking orders, though.
That's right. You got the kingpin.
That's the sad thing.
The kingpin is Putin.
Absolutely.
But that's still criminal activity because, you know, that's what is considered a war crime.
Absolutely.
But if you're a troop and you're a soldier, you're fighting for your country. And then when your leader tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it. If you don't, you get in trouble. You can get arrested for treason.
I've seen people talking about accounts of, you know, them separating them from their husband, their families, and then they're finding their husband outside shot, killed in the street hours later.
I've seen situations of
women being raped.
Awesome.
And things like that. You know, one woman talking about how she was raped repeatedly.
I agree.
Then the soldiers came back. I don't know that Putin's saying do that.
Yeah, but it still sounds like, you know, they're trying to avoid the bigger issue, which is going to get Putin. Because if they go after Putin, then it's World War
III. I think
you can
do both, too, by the way.
Like, I saw them asking the press secretary, you know, why don't they just engage in war? And she was like, well, a war isn't something that we want right now. But if you know that this guy is the head honcho, the kingpin, calling all of these shots, why wouldn't you just go get him?
I don't know if it's that easy, but all right. And women in Russia are also videoing themselves scissoring up their expensive Chanel bags. They're protesting being barred from new purchases by their favorite brand, Chanel. Chanel has pulled out of Russia. They stopped selling to wealthy Russians. Buyers have to sign a pledge that they will not wear or display that brand in Russia. So now a lot of the influencers are saying that they are against Russia phobia. And if owning Chanel means selling my motherland, then I don't need Chanel. And so now they're trying to cutting up their Chanel bags and posting videos of that. But if you go to Chanel and you're from Russia and you try to buy something, they will ban you from being able to do that.
Yeah, that statement sounded wild when you first said it. You're like, women in Russia are scissoring up. I was like, what? Pause. That's what they're thinking about at a time like this?
Cutting their bags.
What is wrong with you,
but that's
man?
How she started it. I was like, scissoring.
You've been kinky.
I've never heard scissoring up.
The naked guy on stage to scissoring up.
I've only heard scissoring up referred to as one way, sir. Okay? All right.
Well, there's more definitions. All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got a special guest joining us. Charlamagne sat down with a young lady.
Yes, man. You know, I do a series with the Hollywood Reporter called Emerging Hollywood, where I sit down with people who are doing their thing in Tinseltown. And Quinta Brunson is absolutely a human that's doing her thing. She's the creator and star of Abbott Elementary on ABC, a show that is setting records on ABC, highest rated comedy since Modern Family, most tweeted show, all that good stuff. And one of my personal favorite shows right now to watch. So, yes, I'll be talking to her next.
All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Quinta Brunson, you know, the creator of Abbott Elementary. Good morning.
Hey.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
I am really happy to have this conversation because I am a real big fan. What was life like growing up, you know, in West Philadelphia? Born and raised. I'm sorry.
You had to. I know. It's okay. I let people get it out of their system. You know, it was great. I loved growing up in Philly. It's a beautiful city with a ton of culture. It was a nice environment to grow up in. And being the youngest of five, I just kind of took so much from my siblings. They were older. They were experiencing comedy in their own ways. Like, their favorite things range from Kings of Comedy to, I don't know, like Conan to my mom and dad liked really old shows like the Bob Newhart Show and the Jeffersons and stuff. So I feel like all that funneled into me. And my brother, who's closest to me, liked Ace Ventura, so I got the stupid stuff, too. Mm-hmm. It all just funneled down, so it was nice.
Being the youngest of five, did you get away with a lot?
I had more eyes on me, for sure. My parents were very overprotective.
Really? By the time they get to the youngest ones, they kind of like, they don't raise the youngest like they do the oldest.
Not in my case. They were very overprotective. It made me more adventurous to go out and do my own stuff, so I found new ways to defy them.
You said that when you could make your siblings laugh, you knew you were doing something right. So how would you make them laugh?
One of the big things was them putting me in a car seat and making me do impressions of Wanda from In Living Color. They made me redo Martin episodes, like, from beginning to end.
You can remember whole episodes of Martin?
When I was younger, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I still can. There's a lot of Fresh Prince episodes I can remember from beginning to end, like can almost quote. So stuff like that. It was kind of knowing these shows like the back of my hand to be able to say the lines to them later. So that was the way to connect to them. I was also so far away from them. My closest sibling is 8 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And my other siblings, it's, you know, 10 years, 15 years, and then 20 years. As a kid, I couldn't really relate to them, but making them laugh was how I got to, you know, hang out with them. And our whole family, like my mom and dad too, we all really came together over comedies. It was like the one thing that we could all agree on was a good sitcom at the end of the day.
Now, you were raised Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. So was I.
You were?
Absolutely. My mom still goes to my mom still goes to the Kingdom Hall to this day.
Wait, what?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
So does mine.
So how strict was your upbringing?
Very.
Yeah, because you was naming
Well, I'm saying overprotective. I can just use the... Now you know what I'm talking about. Like, they were very strict.
Yeah.
Also, I was the only kid that was born and raised in it. You know what I mean? Wait, that's not true. Me and my brother closest to me, the rest of them weren't, like, raised Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, no, I was raised whole family.
What?
Oh, yeah, I had the whole righteous, ratchet mom and dad, so my dad ended up getting this fellowship because he got baptized knowing he had no business getting baptized.
I cannot believe this conversation right now.
Absolutely.
I should be disfellowshipped. I'm on the run. You'll never get me.
I never got baptized.
Oh, that's
why.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was too much pressure.
I did because I was so ambitious. I was such an ambitious 13-year-old. Oh, my God.
You got baptized at 13?
Yeah, because I was like, I love God.
I did too, but that's too much pressure.
I know. Well, you had enough foresight.
Have you held on to any of those traditions or habits? You go to memorial service still?
Memorial's the one thing I'll try really hard to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets harder for me every single year. There's always a new obstacle. Last year I tried to go. I show up. It's a Korean hall. I was like, what the hell? Like, why can't I? I was like, I cannot win. So I'm just sitting there dressed like a slut in comparison to everybody else. Like, because I was also trying to go to this party after, so I was like, I'm just wearing this dress. It was a little short, but I was like, it's cool. I'm sitting in the back. They're just like appalled at what I'm wearing. And I'm like, calm down. I was going to sit in the back if I could get in. Yeah. Anyway, the brothers are just like looking at me like I'm just.
All you want to do is pass some bread and wine.
That's it. I'm like, it gets harder and harder every single year, but I keep trying to show up. Yeah, there was a lot of reasons why it wasn't for me, but I don't think it's bad. And I think if it weren't for that, I'm not sure that me and my siblings would have, like, survived Philadelphia at the time. Yeah, because that kind of structure, I guess, and faith, it kind of keeps you out of trouble, which is why people hold on dear to religion, period. You know, it keeps you on a good path. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful.
What about holidays? How do you feel about those now? Because, you know, we didn't get those as kids.
We didn't. There was one year I just wanted to see what it feels like. So I went to Rite Aid and got like a plastic Christmas tree and I just put it in my apartment and I just looked at it and I left it there for like maybe one night and then I took it and I threw it in trash. But I just wanted to see what it felt like. Just wanted to see.
I mean, I do it now because I got a whole family, so it's like my wife didn't grow up.
So you be out here celebrating Christmas.
I enjoy it though, but not because
I'm gonna tell your mother.
Yo, that's so awkward when she's there for the holidays.
Christmas.
Oh, man. Did you ever feel like an outsider in high school?
Not in a sad way. I also went to a school that was an art school, so everybody in the school was kind of an outsider. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everyone was very accepted because the only reason you were there in the first place was because you were kind of a weirdo. It encouraged us all to go into like whatever we wanted to do, and I wish more kids had that for sure.
Did you have any insecurities growing up?
There was a point where I thought if I had a big butt and I could sing, then my life would be different.
Mm.
And that was an insecurity for a while. I remember like stuffing my pants. Like I wore like 3 pairs of tights to school one day because I wanted to have a bigger butt.
And that was before like BBLs and
everything. I know. Else. Yeah. I don't know what the girls are going to do now. I mean, for me, it was just, I was trying to like, you just wanted to be like, I was a little stick thin little girl. And who was popular at the time? Like Buffy the Body.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name from Flavor of Love? Delicious. And, like, you just wanted to, you know, so that was probably my only insecurity.
How'd you get over that?
I had a really bad breakup in college, high school boyfriend, and in college we broke up, and it was so bad. It was so bad that I had no choice but to, like, put myself back together.
Wow.
And when you get your heart broken that bad and everything falls apart and you put yourself back together, you didn't become invincible. And then, like, all that kind of stuff doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't care about it anymore.
What helped you put things back together? When you said everything fell apart after the breakup, like, did you start going to see a therapist or?
No. Therapy wasn't the conversation that it is now. Do you know what I mean? At the time, I think I probably should have back then because I was like depressed, but I barely had the language to identify it as depression.
Did you drink heavily, smoked?
No, I wish. No, that probably would have helped me get through it better. No, I was such a noob at the time. I didn't really drink. I had many days that were, I pretty much dropped out of school because of that, which was crazy. I don't talk about that a lot, but I did pretty much drop out because I just could not peel myself out of the bed. And
that's depression.
It was depression, yeah. And I just didn't identify it as such. And I watched the same DVD of Bruce Almighty on repeat every day. I couldn't pick up the remote to change the DVD. I couldn't even peel myself out of bed to take the DVD out of the DVD player. So I watched it over and over. I sought out like help from friends, you know, like friends helped me out big time. I had one friend, Brandy, who like gave me a list of affirmations to say in the window. In the mirror, and that. I remember that being a specific thing that helped me. I remember thinking it was very stupid, but then I would say the affirmations to myself in the mirror every single day. And after a year, it felt like they had worked. It's crazy, those little things like that. I picked myself back up eventually and started making plans to work, to go to LA. It was really making plans that helped pull me out of that, I think. Because even when I came to LA, I was still dealing with it. And I don't know. I worked my way out of it.
Did it fuel you in some way? Like, I always think about that, I think, what was it, that Mark Zuckerberg movie, and at the end, he kept hitting this, he created Facebook basically because of this young lady. Did it fuel you like that?
Yeah. I mean, when that boyfriend broke up with me, I was like, I don't know how, but you're gonna see my face everywhere. And then, and I did not know how. And then, you know, like, then I like had gone viral on Instagram and stuff like that. So I think it definitely did. But now that's all going away. I like did that and we're friends now. And but it definitely fueled me at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we got more with Quinta Brunson. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Quinta Brunson. Charlamagne.
Did you ever start your own journey? Going to therapy, things like that? Like, how does Quinta heal?
I haven't gone to therapy. I do have a journey, though. Like, there are things that I do to take care of my mental health. Sometimes that's just resting. Sometimes that's just being with friends and family when I need to. Sometimes it's checking in with myself, making sure I'm not doing harmful things for my mental health, like comparisons. I think that's a small thing that people don't think about that really messes with your mental health.
Absolutely.
You know, compare, and I always have to check in, especially as I'm, you know, having this moment with Abbott. I always have to check in and ground myself. So I try to be very active doing that. I feel like my mental health is in a really good place, but if it ever weren't, I would tap in and not ignore it, I think.
Your parents had no clue you were taking classes at the Second City in Chicago while you were studying at Temple in Philly. How'd you pull that off?
I told them I was staying in my friend's dorm. And I would be like, oh, I'm staying on campus, gotta study.
Just
I would
lying.
Fly, just lying. I was such a little liar. I had to, though. And it was funny because you would have thought I was like, you know, doing something really bad and I'm going to take improv classes. And I would lie and be like, I'm going to a campus party. And meanwhile, I'd be flying to Chicago. And I did it like 7 times. I don't know how I pulled it off.
Wow.
Did it make you feel like you was living like a dual identity?
Absolutely. Lived a double life for a long time.
Now, who had more influence on your career? Your sixth grade teacher, Miss Abbott?
Mm-hmm.
Or I heard you ran into Paul Rudd at a movie theater in Philly.
Yeah. That little gem that Paul Rudd dropped on me that he barely remembers, it was just one of those little sparks that makes you believe something is possible. But my teacher, Miss Abbott, and my mother, really, who's like the inspiration behind Abbott, your teachers are, to me, ultimately responsible for your ability to read, write, articulate, present yourself. They turn you into a human. So I was really fortunate enough to have really good teachers that I loved. It always like bugs me out when people talk about having a teacher they hated. I just never had that experience. So not only did it inspire me to make Abbott, clearly influential for that reason, but they were good at making people, like turning kids into good people, citizens, creators, etc.
Abbott Elementary is a hit, like a hit, like a big hit. like how does it feel to receive so much praise for the show?
It's so crazy. I you know, I keep saying when we made the show, when we sold it, we felt like this is good. When I wrote the pilot, I was like, this is good. We got the writers. I was like, oh my God, we're making good stuff here, right? And then you get on set and everyone's like, we feel like we're making a good show. Like from everybody from, you know, hair and makeup to directors to the COVID crew, everyone's like, this feels good. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we were making something good, but for it to go out into the world and people feel the same way and to come to the show so soon, I was expecting it to be like, I don't know. I was like, all right, it's airing weekly on ABC. Like, it's not going to catch on until it's full season on streaming. I did not imagine this energy so fast. And I'm just like in awe of it, very humbled by it. I'm so happy that people are seeking out something like this to watch. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? There were times I wondered if it was too, I knew it was good, but I was like, oh man, I wonder if people don't want heartwarming. I don't know where people are these days, but I knew that there was a market there for it because people keep rewatching old sitcoms on Netflix. My niece is 14 and she's just now discovering, like, you know, Friends and The Office, and yeah. she loves it. She loves the feel of it, you know? And I was like, so that feeling, there will always be room for that. I guess I just expected people to ignore it for a while. And the fact that they hadn't, I mean, thank you. Thanks to everyone for watching, because, you know.
I feel like Abbott is what happens when these networks give Black creatives real budgets and don't get in their way.
Yeah.
When it comes to notes and stuff like that.
I have to agree with that. They sold ABC to me. Like, here's what we can do for you. Here's how we want to listen to and support you. I'd never had a meeting like that in my life. I knew it was the partnership I needed to create this kind of a show.
Wow.
You know, I knew that they were going to let me cook.
That's interesting because you don't really get that on network.
No. I knew that this was a network sitcom, too. I knew it was 22 minutes. I knew that it was built for that, you know, that world. ABC was definitely the place. I just felt they were going to let me. They believed in me. Like you said, the budget was there up mm-hmm. front. You know, it wasn't a fight for, because mm-hmm. it's surprising how much, you know, we still have to fight for pennies sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear you have a lot of respect for teachers. And, you know, I love that because my mom is a public school teacher.
Yeah.
So did you set out to make commentary on underfunded schools? Was that the goal?
Not necessarily. I think a good show begins with a grounded topic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we may not think of it that way, but like The Office was about, you know, the work crisis at the time. You know, we were coming out of recession. You know what I mean? And when you build something from that place, it automatically yields good fruit most of the time. So my idea was to begin from that place. We have this. I've seen it firsthand what teachers go through from day to day. But I wasn't necessarily setting out to change anything or like beat people over the head with a message. I just knew that if we started in a real place with the state of where we are right now, that's the best way to start a comedy.
I think that's dope because a lot of people just like to be funny first. And that's what you know. Yeah. Just be funny.
Right.
Just be funny. But it's like, no, can I create a story? Can I yeah. start from something real first?
And yeah. funny will come. That's yep. It's weird because people look at it, the jokes are really like the easy part. You mm-hmm. can, you know, whatever, but you have to have a soul of a show first.
That's
when,
right.
when the show doesn't have a soul, then, you know what I mean? Like, the jokes don't matter. And anyone can say them. Like, the soul of the show creates the humor of the show. There are things that people find funny in the show that aren't even jokes, but it's because you know the soul of the show. And I think that also is a marker of a good comedy. Like, in Seinfeld, like, no soup for you, like, mm-hmm. means nothing if you haven't seen Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. But if you have seen Seinfeld, that can make you cry laughing. And that's because of the soul of the comedy, you know? Like, that kind of stuff matters, I think, in making a good show.
I think I read somewhere that you don't like tackling issues in your work.
No.
Really?
If this gets tackled, then so be it. But I'm not trying to, like, that's so much pressure. Mm-hmm. And why do we always have to tackle issues? How come I can't make some dumb shit? Like, you know, like.
That's a great point. I think it's only because Black people feel like we're not being represented. So we kind of want to show the world, like, what's going on a lot of times.
But is it still not representation if not?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I really don't like, I said that in an interview and I felt like that came out wrong, but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to start from that point because that's not funny to me. That's not where I operate best. Like I said, if the issue gets tackled, then so be it. Similar like what's happening with Abbott, but those were naturally the places we were going to go in talking about what happens in a school, what happens with the school district. But starting there just feels so, you know what I mean?
How do you feel when you think about, you know, the fact that people might see themselves in the character of Janine Teagues.
I love that. That makes me happy. I actually love when girls will tweet and say, oh my God, I think I'm Janine. Like it's the worst revelation because, you know, Janine's kind of annoying and peppy, but she's earnest. And I think it's beautiful that people can see themselves be all of that. You know, one of the big things for me with Janine was clearly she has a big heart, but to a fault, you know, yeah. And she's wrong a lot and right a lot. And I think it's really cool that young women, and especially young Black women, can see themselves in this poorly dressed, like always making mistakes, girl. I think that's actually special for us. To me, that feels like a new version of representation, like to identify with someone who is not together yet. Mm-hmm. I think that's fun, you know, so.
At some point, she has to break up with the aspiring rapper, though.
Okay. Why are people so mad? People like,
because you can do better.
People's parents call me. We got to lose Tariq. I'd be like, what? Like, I was at like a Jewish wedding and this Jewish grandmother grabbed my face and was like, you need to leave the boyfriend. I'm like, it's just a show. And she's like, I don't like it. Like, people feel very strongly.
If he makes it, is he gonna get a deal? You gonna sign with Dream Chasers or something? I don't know. Like, is he gonna get a deal?
Look, people hated him in episode 2. Now they're sad. They nearly don't want to see him go after his Fade performance. They're like, they're all about him.
All right, we got more with Quinta Brunson. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Quinta Brunson. Charlamagne?
You said, Abbott, is the first time since high school that your mom said she's proud of you.
Yeah. Wow.
How did that make you feel?
That was a moment. I almost cried when she said that. And she didn't even know why. I was like, you have not said that to me. And I don't know how long. Because everything else I was doing, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, she found blasphemous. Like, Black Lady Sketch Show, she was like, HBO? The Nudity Network? And I was like, yeah. So she didn't like that. Like, I would tell her, work at this place called BuzzFeed, and she would, like, tell me the truth. Are you stripping? And it'd be like, she really could not. I'm so serious. She could not understand what, but it made no sense to her. And yeah, I showed her the website, and she's like, this is nothing. This is a website. And I would show her videos, and she's like, still not, well, how are you making money from this? But now, you know, ABC, she can understand. Ah, TV show, that made sense to her. So she gets it now, and she loves it. She's such a sitcom watcher that if she didn't like it, she would, like, say it. Like, her comedy opinion means a lot to me. She told me 2 weeks ago, she was like, I'll watch this even if, you know, it wasn't your show. Like, I love this show.
Wow.
That means a lot to me, for sure.
I don't think parents realize how much those I love you and I'm proud of you, how far they go for all of us. Even when we become adults, that inner child still wants to hear that.
I know. She probably won't tell me again for like 10 years, but I'm going to hold on to that one.
Star of Abbott, executive producer, head writer as well?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's got to be at least 200 people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. Does that weigh on you mentally?
Only sometimes when I feel even right now, I'm like, I am speaking for myself, but I do feel like I need to represent an entire group of people. I want people to be able to have jobs next year on Abbott. I want to make sure the show keeps going. So I want to try to present myself on behalf of the entire production. And besides that, no, because everybody else is so good at their jobs that it made my life so much easier. It made it easier to delegate, to communicate, because everyone else was so fantastic. Yes, it's a lot of work and a lot of pressure, but I don't feel it because everyone rose to the occasion.
What do you do to stay grounded?
I play video games.
Really?
I go bowling. I see my family as much as I can. I talk to my family constantly, because my family they're not like, my sister still just like will make fun of me, and I think I need that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they keep me very grounded, just staying connected to them, and honestly even staying connected to Philly, like working with Philly organizations. There's an organization called Yeah Philly that I've been working with since 2019, and that they work with youth in the area. It's like an anti-gun violence initiative ran by Philly kids. It's incredible. And just staying tapped in with the city and my family, I think really keeps my feet on the ground.
Do you feel success yet?
I feel it in small ways. Like when I was like, I'm going to buy a cappuccino maker. I know that seems small to some people.
Okay, balling. I like it.
But like little ways where I'm like, ooh. And then I call my business manager and they're like, leave us alone, buy the cappuccino maker. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, oh, okay. I thought, so little ways like that where I want to buy something, but I'm so used to being, I used to be broke for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Those things seem big to me. This, I wasn't doing this last year. I was afraid to talk to you, actually. I was like afraid.
Why?
Because your show, sometimes you're like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I have to talk to Charlamagne. And I was like, but that's also a good sign of doing something.
I don't want that reputation, by the way. No positive affirmations for me, huh?
This has been nice. This has been lovely. This is positive, right? Absolutely. This has been lovely. I have had such a good time, yeah.
Final question. What does Quinta ultimately want to do? What do you want out of all of this?
I hope that after, you know, the show finishes airing, it will have made something in the world just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do that by putting it in the show. I just want people to have a good time watching it. I want them to leave thinking about the human condition a little bit more. Mm. As you can see, we've started doing our part with helping with schools. And so we've got that covered. But if other people are inspired to go, you know, help in any way they came to schools, that's incredible. I love when people like just tell me, hey, I made a donation today, or hey, I checked into a meeting, a local meeting, because anyone can go to these meetings for schools at, you know, government meetings or whatever. All of that makes me really happy. And other than that, I'd like a farm eventually.
Oh.
So I'm working toward that, nice farm. I'll live in LA and I'll live in the city and stuff, but one day I'm gonna retire and you will never see me again.
Why a farm?
Why not a farm? Everything's going to shit. I want to grow my own food. I want to have a compound and, you know, have some animals. And so that's my plan.
All right. Well, Quinta, it was a pleasure. And I just want to continue to see you grow and evolve.
This was lovely.
I hope so.
It was. I'm like, this was a wonderful experience.
Just alone changed your perception of me. You hated me?
I didn't know.
What did you think of me, Quinta? Matter of fact, don't answer that. I don't want to know. You know what? I don't want to know for my own confidence sake. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Quinta.
Thank you.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip.
Gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Carpool Karaoke is back. Did you know there was a 2-year hiatus?
I would assume.
I didn't realize that. But yes, that late show segment returned yesterday, and Nicki Minaj is in the passenger seat. Talk about back with a bang. Now, here she is talking about her ops.
Who is your ops right now?
Actually, I've got this problem with my neighbor.
We pop up on him.
I like your dog, but it doesn't need to be outside after 10 p.m. barking. You've got young kids.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, Graham and Brenda.
And we're going to pull up on you and your dog, Graham and Brenda, and we're going to make it blick, blick. And what we say and
I
what we do, we're going
to
do...
the dog. I don't want anyone to be hurt. I just want them to understand that we've got young
children. If we don't hurt them, how are they going to understand?
Well, that's just a different... It's a different way.
There's a way of doing it.
It's a different way of... It's a, yeah, I'm going to tackle this on my own. They are nice on text.
No, if they're your ops, they're your ops. Ops don't have your number.
Oh, well, then they're not ops.
All right, in addition to that, she talks about how quickly she writes.
How quickly can you write your apps?
Well, Chun-Li, I wrote very quickly. Like, in a couple hours, I had everything written.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're able to write a beat about anything?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need any help? I'm a pretty good beatboxer.
All right, do it. Pick it. You're supposed to come back. Me and James. Looking good. Like we should. Like we knew we would.
Skirt.
Shook. Oh, wait. I thought we was done.
All right. In addition to that, Nicki talked about anxiety.
Do you struggle with that, with anxiety? Because in so many ways, you are so unbelievably confident. Mm. What is that? That mix between anxiety, nerves, matched with an extreme amount of confidence?
I don't know. I think when I was younger, probably my more natural state was to be more confident. But I think when you are a woman and you're in the public eye all the time, if you're not careful, you can become less confident because you're being constantly scrutinized, you know? And I don't think it's natural. It's not natural for a human being to just always feel like everyone's critiquing them.
I am sure. And I'm sure social media heightened it. I mean, anxiety is already the most common mental illness in the U.S., affects over 40 million adults. I'm sure the constant critique from social media heightens it.
But doesn't everybody have anxiety? I was talking to my daughter about this the other day. Doesn't, like, everybody have anxiety when they have to do something? You have a little bit of anxiety, right?
Well, I think there's probably a difference between nerves and anxiety.
Yes. But, I mean, it is the most common mental illness in the United States, anxiety disorders.
All right. Now, Caitlyn Jenner had a sit-down interview with the Full Send podcast, and some of the things she talked about is trusting Kanye.
Actually, I get along very well with Kanye. I really like Kanye. Mm-hmm. Every time we've been together, he's been absolutely great, especially during the transition and this and that. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely phenomenal. I'm still today, when I see him, we're good friends. Mm-hmm. I just have to be a little careful because, you know, he said some things, especially towards the family, that, you know, obviously I'm on the family side, you know.
Mm, of course.
And I wish him nothing but the best, and, you know. And, you know, I'd love to see him again.
Now, here's Caitlyn Jenner also talking about her transition.
I made the decision years earlier that if I were to do that, I would do it all the way or not at all.
All the way meaning does it transition to the other part? And I'm just
What
is that surgery people. Like? How does that work? What is that surgery
we
like?
We can't get too
we
much
can't?
Into.
Well, I'm curious.
Hold on, Bob. I don't want to go into specifics, but as doctors say, it's easier to take it off than it is to put it on.
What?
You heard him.
When a doctor's putting it on, what does that mean, putting it on?
Well, some
maybe
people,
attaching
I'm sure,
something.
Get a prosthetic. What is it?
Prosthetic? What is a prosthetic?
A prosthetic, I mean.
Sounds like
fake?
Some type of toast.
You can get a prosthetic penis? You can get the cyber slung?
Mm-hmm. What?
That gotta be fun. That gotta be a fun process, customizing your penis. Like picking it out, pick the color. You know what I mean?
Okay. What? Or if you don't like yours, you can get a
you wouldn't get a regular one,
a new
would you?
One.
No.
Yeah, if you're gonna get one, you're gonna do it.
You want it to be look natural.
I want the Bugatti of penises.
I'm glowing the dark.
I want the exotic.
Yeah, word.
All right, the big boy toy.
I feel like you need a smart car.
Plug it up, charge it up. That'd be wild to be able to charge your penis up at night.
No, I meant like a little tiny smart car.
No.
That's what he has now. Yeah, he wants something bigger.
I'm getting the phantom of penises. Okay.
All right. Now, just as a FYI, Tiger Woods is going to be teeing off this morning. And I've been keeping up with this just to see what's going to happen. You know, he has he had that bad car accident about 14 months ago. And he's only been on a golf course in public just one time since then. And that was at the PNC Championship in December with his son, Charlie. They are saying that things have been pushed back 30 minutes opening times because of thunderstorms in the early morning hours. And so they released that statement, and that was due to inclement weather in Augusta, Georgia. But we're excited to see what Tiger Woods is going to bring today. All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, don't forget, coming up in a little bit, Ask Yee. So if you want to get on the phone lines right now, 800-585-1051. Now, we got Duncan today next. Who are you giving you that Duncan to?
Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance. He needs to come to the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right, we'll get to that next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen. So I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
Breakfast Club up in your lifestyle.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God.
Rocking with the best.
We've been rather
wrecking cars. April, is that
Jambo? What
does
that say
for us? This is a miracle.
There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are a donkey.
To the latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacist violence is and always has been the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Charlene, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
Well, donkey of the day for Thursday, April 7th. Make sure that's today. It is Thursday, April 7th. Yes, it is. Goes to Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance. Let me tell you something. I'm giving J.D. Vance donkey of the day simply because I'm black. All right? And as a black man, I have to stand against racism. Okay, I also have to stand against xenophobia. All right? What did Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. say? An injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere? Yes, I totally agree with that. That's how I feel morally. But marketing-wise, I think what J.D. Vance did is incredible. Okay, it's bold, it's honest, and it's provocative. It gets the people going. All right, seriously, when I Googled J.D. Vance's name, it had been searched over 16 million times this morning, right? This ad that he created has caused a conversation. Mostly that conversation is saying how it's racist and xenophobic, because it is. But do you think J.D. Vance cares? Hell no, because the more people who talk about his ad, the more people it reaches, and the people he is talking to in the ad love it. Okay, all he's trying to do is find more of his tribe. He's running for Senate in Ohio. But when something becomes a national story, then that means more people in Ohio will see it. And if they can answer the two questions he asked in the beginning of the ad with a resounding yes, even if they feel like that a little bit, then guess what? They found the human they want to vote for in J.D. Vance. Would you like to hear J.D. Vance's campaign ad so we can properly discuss? Well, here you go.
Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans? The media calls us racist for wanting to build Trump's wall. They censor us, but it doesn't change the truth. Joe Biden's open border is killing Ohioans, with more illegal drugs and more Democrat voters pouring into this country. This issue is personal. I nearly lost my mother to the poison coming across our border. No child should grow up an orphan. I'm J.D. Vance, and I approve this message because whatever they call us, we will put America first.
Jesus Christ. Democrats be scared to talk directly to their most loyal voting bloc, which is black women and black men. They can't even pretend. Okay, they be afraid to talk directly to us and talk directly about our issues because they don't want to scare off those hypothetical, unwoke white swing voters. Meanwhile, the GOP on a state and national level is like, what's popping, cuz? You racist, we racist too. What's happening? Okay? It is a part of me that respects this. I don't like pretenders, okay? I want everyone to be who they are. I personally think the world would be a much better place if we all just put what we believe on the table. That way, it's no mixing of energies that don't need to be together, okay? We waste so much time presenting ourselves as things we are not, and that's just not sustainable over time. Over time, the real you will reveal itself, good or bad, okay? The best or the worst of you will eventually reveal itself. Now, here's the thing about politicians, though. Reason this is dangerous is when you're a politician is because politicians are supposed to be servants of all people. Okay, you got to be objective. It shouldn't be about party, race, sexuality, gender, religious beliefs. You're supposed to be here to serve all of us, but we know that's not how this works. So why would someone like J.D. Vance be so open and honest about how he feels? Because he knows in Ohio where his bread is buttered, okay, and the bread in Ohio is white. All right, really white, highly processed flour and lots of additives white. Okay, JD is buttering the kind of white bread that contributes to obesity, heart disease, and diabetes when you eat too much of it. So he don't care about what anyone else is talking about. Okay, 81.7% of people in Ohio are white. I don't know, okay, how many white people in Ohio are racist and hate Mexicans, though, okay? I don't know. This isn't a generalization of all white people in Ohio, but I do know in the presidential elections of 2016 and 2020, Donald Trump won Ohio, okay? And J.D. Vance is just peeping game and saying to himself, oh, I know who and what I need to tap into to possibly get a victory here. Because J.D. Vance back in 2015, he ain't even like Trump. You don't believe me? Listen to the attack ads against him that are running in Ohio.
J.D. Vance, in his own words.
I'm a never Trump guy. I never liked him. As somebody who doesn't like Trump,
I might have to hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for Trump because I can't stomach Trump. I think that he's noxious, him being really outrageous and offensive.
On Twitter, Vance called Trump, quote, reprehensible, an idiot, and Vance loves Mitt Romney.
I'm a never Trump guy.
That's the real J.D. Vance. Club for Growth Action is responsible for the content of this ad.
Okay, that's how he felt, but then Trump did what nobody thought he could do, and that's when the presidential election in 2016, and he won Ohio in 2016 and 2020, and I guess that's when J.D. Vance decided to go full great replacement theory and changed his mind. Listen to him talk about Trump now.
Why should Trump voters, Trump supporters, vote for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, all of us say stupid things, and I happen to say stupid things very publicly. I've been very public about the fact that I voted for the president in 2020, that I was wrong about the president back in 2015, 2016, and that he's been the greatest president of my lifetime. You know, I was just north of 30 years old when I said a lot of those things. A lot's changed in my life. I reengaged with my faith. I got baptized 3 years ago. I've had three kids since then. You know, a lot's different. And one of the things that's different is that I did change my mind about Donald Trump. He was a great president.
Yes, we all say stupid things. I say stupid things, but dangerous things are different, especially dangerous things that come with positions of power, okay? J.D. Vance knows you don't have to be real in politics. Just say what people want to hear. Just because you believe something doesn't make it the truth, though. So you can believe what J.D. Vance is saying, but it's not really his truth. He just wants your votes, okay? You got to understand, one of my favorite movies ever is Bullworth, all right? Starring Warren Beatty, Halle Berry, Don Cheadle. Okay, and Jay Bullworth was a man who got tired of lying to the American people, and since he had hired a hitman to kill him and thought he was going to die anyway, he just started telling the truth. And it worked. Only difference was Bullworth spoke out against racism and had solutions for poverty, and he called out the dysfunction in the healthcare system, and he let folks know about the corporate control of the political agenda. He rebelled against all of that. Great movie. You should watch it, okay? I have been waiting for a liberal to speak truth to power in that way, but alas, that hasn't happened. But Republicans... they are. They just don't care about the least of us. Okay, so it makes you ask the question, does it take more courage to be good or bad? Does it take more courage to be right or wrong? I don't know. I just know one party, Republicans, are displaying political courage, even if it's just to get votes, while the other Democrats are showing no courage at all. Kathy Griffin, could you do the honors?
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
Chelsea Handler, you want to get in on this J.D. Vance thing?
Hee-haw, hee-haw. That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
I wonder if Chris Rock got anything to say.
Cracker ass cracker!
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
You got my girl? What about my girl that stood up to that dude in Florida? You don't got her?
Oh. The one she was singing.
Damn. Yeah, man. How we ain't got my girl in there? I need my girl. We gotta add my girl to this. I feel like my girl got something to say, but we got. Hey, Eddie, make sure to add my girl next time, man.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. Up next, Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on. Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
How are you?
What's your question for Ye?
I'd like to say grand rises to all three of you guys. I've been listening for a long time. I can't believe I got through.
Okay.
Charlamagne, you changed my life, so I wanted to let you know that. And my question for Ye is, what happens when you're dating somebody and you tell them that you just want to be friends, but they continue to do whatever it is to try to be more than just friends?
Well, I'm confused. Are you dating them or are you just friends?
Well, I tell them, I've said we're just friends from the very beginning, but it's friends with benefits.
Because I was going to say, if you're dating, you're not just friends.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I told her that I didn't want to date. We could just be friends. But she thinks we're dating because she's always planning things for us to do at like a couple. And I tell her that I see other women, but she doesn't hear that.
Okay, so you guys are sleeping together.
Of course.
And she wants more, but you want to be single so you can date other people.
Yeah.
And why is it? Are you just not in a space in your life where you want to be committed, or is it that she's not the one?
She's not the one.
Well, then you need to leave her alone. That's not fair to her. You're dragging it out. You could see that she wants more. You don't want more. You already know she's not the one. If you care about her as a person, you should leave her alone.
Yeah, I told her how I feel, but I'll stay away for some time, and then she'll come back, and I'll let her back in.
I mean, that's kind of on you. You know what her intentions are. You know what she wants. You know you're not going to do that. So if you're making a decision to continue to see her, knowing that she has higher expectations, and every time you still continue to sleep with her and take her out and do these things, you're actually leading her on. And then you're saying, well, she doesn't understand because you're giving her a mixed message.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling that. I just got to stay away. All right, you answered my question.
Okay, there you go. Leave her alone. If you care about a person at all and you know that's not the one, stop sleeping with her.
Okay. Yeah, I want to remain friends, but I know if I stop sleeping with her, she's not going to be my friend.
That's fine. And look, sometimes I believe that if one person likes the person more than the other, you can't really be friends. Now, maybe further on down the line in a few months when she's moved on, y'all can be okay. But as for now, her feelings are involved. And so as a friend and somebody you want to be friends with, you got to just make sure you cut that off. It's painful. And it's like ripping a Band-Aid off at first, but in the long run, it's for the best.
Yeah, it's very. Because I care about her as a person. I don't want to hurt her, but I know it's going to hurt her.
Yeah, it's hurting her more, though, because at some point she'll be hurt. So you might as well get it over with. If you keep on doing this and keep on giving her false hope, that's worse than just saying it's not going to happen. I think that we should take a break from even speaking to each other. I respect you. I want us to be friends, but I also want to make sure I'm doing the right thing by you so you could actually get somebody in your life who wants the same things that you want with you because you deserve it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Brian. Good luck.
Thank you, Brian. Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need any type of advice, you can call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'ma
keep it real with you. Get some real advice with Angela Ye. It's Ask Ye.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
My name's Nikki.
Hey, what's your question for Yeezy?
Okay, so my question is, if your boyfriend and your girlfriend are having inappropriate conversations on social media, should you go to your girlfriend first and let her know that you don't like that, or do you go to your boyfriend?
So when you say
what goddamn time? Sorry.
When you say girlfriend, you mean just like your friend, or you mean girlfriend like you're dating both of them?
Just my friend.
Okay.
She's both of your friends.
Okay, but okay, she's both of your friends. So who does she know first?
And so it's around the same time for both of us because we all met like elementary.
Okay, what's inappropriately?
Okay, if they were examples, if they're on social media talking about how, you know, that you got, like, they got power and stuff, and that's why men won't leave her alone, and then just having, like, sexual conversations.
Oh, hell no.
It's never about them having sex, just like her and other men having sex, and why won't those men leave her alone? And my boyfriend, in turn, said, well, maybe, yo, you who got some power.
Yeah, no, that's awkward and that's uncomfortable. And you definitely need to talk to both of them. The first person I would talk to, who are you closer to? Your boyfriend, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did do it and I went to my boyfriend first. He's now my husband.
Okay.
He admitted it was wrong, but I went to him first and told him I didn't like that. It was inappropriate. And then after it continued, I then went to her and was like, you know, hey, don't entertain my boyfriend while y'all doing this because it's inappropriate.
Okay.
But she makes it seem like I'm a bad friend because I shouldn't have never went to her. I should have took it up with my boyfriend.
No, I think you did the right thing. That's what I would have did. First thought I would have went to my man and said, these conversations are inappropriate. I'm not comfortable with it. And then I would have went to her. Do you feel like she likes him?
She says that she doesn't. I just feel like it's just inappropriate, regardless of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're my friend and you know what triggers me. So you know if I got insecurity issues or whatever, then don't cross that line. And then as my spouse, you know me as well. Like,
right.
You know not to be doing this on, especially on social media.
Did they stop?
Well, yeah, we ended up having to block her and everything. It turned really bad to where we were about to fight and have a shootout, so.
Okay, just want to say that ain't your real friend. You should be able to go to your friend and tell them anything, even if it's an uncomfortable conversation. And so for her to tell you that you need to just go to him and take it up with him alone, no. You are the person that is instigating all of these things. And as my friend, I should be able to have those conversations with you. You shouldn't even have done it in the first place, but at least I'm coming to you and telling you how I feel. Now, if you still continue to act like you're not doing anything wrong and you're not respecting my feelings, you're not really my friend. And the fact that you had to block her, that might mean that that's a sign that's not somebody that's supposed to be in your life.
Right, because I was questioning if I needed to, like, apologize and try to rekindle our friendship, and that's kind of why I wanted to ask, like, was I in the wrong anywhere here?
You know, sometimes you outgrow people. Sometimes she might be jealous of your relationship with him.
That's what somebody else told me, but I don't know.
And I'm not even saying that means she wants him, but she might be jealous of the fact that the two of you together, maybe she feels left out. She wants to cause problems. But anybody I feel like that makes your life more difficult and when you confront them about it, they're not receptive to what you have to say, that's not somebody you need in your life.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, I did marry my boyfriend, so he owned up to it and admitted that he was wrong about it. And since then, we haven't had any issues like that. So was that kind of like a good choice as well?
Yeah. You happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, we got a child together and everything now, and I'm happy.
Happiness is a great choice.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I love y'all. I listen to y'all every day while I'm throwing these newspapers at these people's houses. I love all of y'all. Angela Yee, Envy, Charlamagne. Thank you.
We love you too, Nikki. Please,
love you.
I'm happy you're happy.
All right, thank you. Y'all be blessed.
All right, well, thank you, Yee, for that advice. 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and we'll be talking about Real Housewives of New York. As you know, there's going to be two different versions, and listen to what Ebony K. Williams had to say about why she thinks that happened.
All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club. So listen up.
Ebony K. Williams from The Real Housewives of New York was on Reality with the King, Stitcher podcast that's hosted by Carlos King. And she talked about how Real Housewives of New York is coming out with two different shows and why she believes that Bravo is launching two versions of Real Housewives of New York. Here's what she said.
So I was right here in this Airbnb and I was working and I did get an advanced call from production to let me know the details.
Was it hours before?
It was enough for me to not be shocked when the general populace found out I was informed. And I was in my feelings for about 2 seconds, only because, you know, I feel very strongly that I did everything in my power, everything I knew to do, everything I could do to show up full throttle as my inaugural season as a housewife.
So what are the two shows?
So there's one that's like a throwback show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a Real Housewives of New York throwback or reboot or legacy or whatever it is that they're calling it. And then they're keeping their casting pretty low. So, I mean, they're keeping the information on what their casting is going
to
be pretty
low. They're
trying
to figure it out.
Yeah, they're trying to figure these things out because it didn't work out.
Well, I don't watch. Was trash.
Yeah,
horrible.
Yeah, I don't watch either one of them. But I mean, I did a couple episodes just for Ebony. But it should be two shows, and the other show should be super diverse. It should be one that really reflects the melting pot that New York City is. Don't you think?
Well, she doesn't feel like
absolutely
they wanted that. That was the main thing, right? She was the first ever Black person on Real Housewives of New York. New York is such a diverse place, but apparently their bubble is not that diverse.
Now, they made everything about race. It wasn't a normal show where you see women going out and doing what they do. Every show was something about race.
But that might be the editing, because I'm sure they film way more.
Yeah, the editing was trash. It was trash. It was the last season was trash.
Now, Ebony K. Williams also said only Sonya Morgan was willing to come to the table and negotiate a future that involved me as a part of this ensemble. So here's what else she had to say about the season not being fun.
I feel very strongly that several of the aspects of the traditional housewife experience, which you know all too well because you helped curate the were absent from my season. We're in a lockdown. It's New York, so it's not the same as a lockdown in other parts of the country. It was no dice. There was no international trip. There was no glamour. There was no glitz. So it just was lacking of the fun that Housewives is known for.
So is Ebony going to be on season the next season?
Not looking like it. She said only one member was willing to come to the
table. Oh, I thought she was saying there's two different shows and she's going to be on one of them. She's not even going to be on the next season.
She said her co-stars were unwilling to negotiate to keep her on the series. They didn't want to even meet her halfway in that negotiation.
It didn't fit. It didn't fit. That whole show, you could just tell it was just thrown together. I know a lot of times, at least the women know each other. But in New York, it just was just an odd thing.
Now, she also feels that she was blackballed.
I'm going to be real. Were you blackballed by Luann, Ramona, Leah in terms of not being able to come to the table?
They were unwilling to. Yes. If you want to call it blackballed, I'm not going to, you know, dispute the semantics of that, Carlos. What I am telling you plainly, only Sonya Morgan was willing to come to the table and negotiate a future that involved me as a part of this ensemble. Period. Dot.
I thought Leah was her friend on there.
Yeah, I don't think those were black balls. Those were white labias that were blocking Ebony K. Williams from being on.
Because she came on as Leah's friend.
Well, she wasn't really Leah's friend. They just say she's a friend, but they didn't seem like they really knew each other.
I don't watch the show. I only watched it for Ebony a couple of times. Okay? Salute to Leah, too. You know what I mean? But I'm riding with Ebony. I'm riding with Ebony. Whatever she wants to do, I'm with it.
All right. Now, Lee Daniels is saying that he was confused by what happened with Jussie Smollett. He did an interview with T.S. Madison, as you know. And here's what he had to say.
Are you mad at him? Mm-mm. I was. I was confused.
So what happened?
I don't.
You tell me.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, when I tell you,
he says it didn't happen. And so I have to believe him that he believes that it didn't happen. Because that's the boy that I cast. And that's the boy that I love. And
he was you. He was
he
you.
Was me. Listen, he. It's too painful to talk about it, girl. I can't. It's too upsetting.
Did you cry, Lee?
Like a bitch.
Why is Lee Daniels so funny to me, man? Did you cry? Like a bitch. I watched that like 5 times yesterday for no reason.
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know, man. And I listen, I understand where Lee coming from. That's his guy. He riding with his guy, right or wrong. And guess what?
He believes him.
Even if he didn't believe him, he's still riding with him. But, you know.
All right. And Pusha T posted its album title is Almost Dry, phase one of the tour coming to a city near you. Tickets go on sale Friday. So tomorrow tickets will go on sale for the It's Almost Dry tour phase one with special guests.
Okay.
So you can go to kingpush.com/tour to get those tickets.
It's Almost Dry. When is the album dropping though? Is there a release date? You know, the single, that wasn't a single, but they put out a record yesterday with Hov, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. When is the album coming out?
It doesn't say. It does, however, say when the tour is starting. So I guess you figure it's going to be maybe around the same time. This tour starts May 29th in Seattle.
Okay. Well, if you liked Neck and Wrist yesterday, that's about the seventh or eighth best song on the album.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you and Coi Leray can go together so you can help expose her to some Pusha T.
Maybe she might have a feature with Pusha Button.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, that is your rumor reports.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. Shout out to Jim Jones. He sent me his remix to his joint featuring Lil Wayne, Joel Santana, and Khaled. We're going to start the mix off with that. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen, so I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest joining us this morning. We have the mayor of Atlantic City.
Atlantic City,
Marty Small. Welcome.
Good morning, Envy. Good morning, Angela Lee. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Let's everyone's names up this
to the Breakfast Club worldwide audience. And it's a great day in the city of Atlantic City.
Now, this is the first time that
you're not going to introduce both of our guests?
I'm about to. Okay. But I'm going to say this is the first time that he actually met Angela Yee.
I was starting to think that Angela Yee had something against me. You know, all of my Breakfast Club appearances, she hasn't been
there. I thought maybe you were planning it that way. Like, what day is Angela out? Okay, perfect.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Now, also, you have Cash with you. For people that don't know, what's his position?
Well, Cash was my former aide, who's now is my constituent service director and in charge of special projects, marijuana being one of them. Young guy who I'm extremely proud of, has grown so much. And that's what I wanted to do when I came in the mayor's office. I wanted to give younger people an opportunity who normally wouldn't get that opportunity. So he's making us all proud.
Cash, something we call it cannabis.
Cannabis, definitely. New York, what up? Yes, yes.
The proper term.
That's the proper term.
So now what's going on with Atlantic City now? You've been in office for some time now. So what have you been doing? What have the people of Atlantic City been seeing?
Well, listen, first of all, we stabilized the government. As you know, when I first came on here, I was just getting in, taking over for the former mayor. COVID hit. We served the community well. And now things are stable. And as you know, I had 7 elections in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. And now the government's stable. We're moving forward with our agenda. Also, a little history in the family. My wife, January 1st, became the first African-American female superintendent in the history of Atlantic City. And crazy, the first superintendent to actually live in Atlantic City. So, we're extremely proud about that. And, we're just plugging away. We're, offering more services, spending less money. Mm-hmm. My thing is fiscal responsibility. For the third straight year, the good people of Atlantic City is going to get a tax decrease. We have a situation where I wanted to invest in human capital. We got money from the American Rescue Plan. We got $33 million. We got the first $16.5 million, and we wanted to spend it on lost revenue, which we fixed a couple of bridges in town. But also, we wanted to give back to our employees. We gave every city employee up to $3,500 as COVID pay. Mm-hmm. And we did something that no other mayor has ever done, and that's give back to the taxpayers and businesses. Currently now, those taxpayers and businesses are getting $500. It's a lot, considering that it's never been done. And one of the things I said when I got in, we wanted to rebuild City Hall from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And we're changing the culture in City Hall and government and throughout the city. And they're coming up on contract negotiations, which we're wrapping up next week. And I'm just going to say this, that our employees have never seen a contract like we're about to give out, and I'm extremely proud of that as mayor.
What do you mean? What kind of contract?
The union contract.
Okay.
It expired at the end of December, and everyone except for our fire department is up this year. They're up next year, and you can't say that you believe in employees, you believe in upward mobility, you believe in right sizing the salaries in government, and when you get a chance to do so, you don't act. So you know, we're extremely excited about that. And, you know, things are looking up in the city.
Being a kid and going down to Atlantic City, it wasn't that many black things to do. It wasn't that many urban events. Is that changing?
Well, as I said on the station when I first came on a couple of years ago, that I was going to change the culture and the way that we do things in Atlantic City. And now, because of my relationships with promoters across the country, my relationship with you, a lot of people are considering Atlantic City that normally wouldn't consider doing any type of business in Atlantic City. We got some exciting things that's happening for the first time. We have in June, I can't give the date or the location, but Denier and Blanc is coming to Atlantic City. We have Kevin Hart performing. We have Wildin' Out. You know, we're working. Of course, we have DJ Envy, Drive Your Dreams, Car Show.
Yeah, we had 12,000, over 12,000 people out there last year. Just to put that in there. No incidents, no problems, no situation. Family fun day this year. We haven't released the date yet, but yeah, it's going to be another big one. What else? I'm sorry.
Yes, and I'm working with Live Nation. Be on the lookout for this. We're working very hard for the first ever, and it's going to be an annual, the Atlantic City Urban Entertainment Festival. This is going to focus on women empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a two-day concert series at Boardwalk Hall. And, you know, there's going to be all type of parties and different promoters doing different things. We're working on something for Betterfield on Memorial Day weekend. We also working on a unique bike festival. You know, shout out to my guy, Lenny the Barber, who's done a lot of things out here. We're trying to put that play together, but...
Motorcycle or bicycle?
Bike.
Oh, bike.
Bike.
Yeah. Lenny rides bikes?
Well, you know, Lenny's a master promoter, so you know, Lenny gets into anything.
And
but
he used to ride bikes.
Yeah. I'm gonna get back on as soon as it gets a little warmer.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, we have options. You know the saying, you ever have options and not need them, then need options and not have them. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely changing the culture there, and we know that that's a priority for us in the city. So we're going to stay true to our summertime slogan that we live, we lit, we outside.
Now, Cash, now, for people that want to get in the cannabis industry in New Jersey, what are the ways they can get into the industry?
Right now, the license process is open for the state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. December 15th started cultivation. That's where you grow the flower. Mm-hmm. March 15th, the application process opened up for retail. Mm-hmm. So Atlantic City is going to be the East Coast hub for cannabis, specifically targeting retail. So what you got to do right now is, it's not easy. You know, out of 100% of cannabis businesses in the country, less than 3% are minority owned. So it's not an easy task. I would say do your due diligence, stay on nj.gov/cannabis to get all the information that you need, get you a right attorney, or get you a right application writer. That's really what the name of the game right now is, application writing, because it's on a point system. You want to make sure you have every point to qualify. But Atlantic City is open for business. Call up the City Hall, you know, hit me on Instagram, send me an email. We are doing everything in our power to continue to get the support from people all over. We have every top company calling in, every celebrity calling in. They want to do business in Atlantic City, and we wide open. We're accepting all six license types. So,
explain the license types. So the first type they say are people that's affected by marijuana and weed, right?
Right. It's six classes of license, two types. So it's micro, that's where it's less than 2,500 square feet and less than 10 employees. And this is specifically for somebody who lives in that city or one of the surrounding cities. Mm-hmm. The other one is just a regular class tier license where, you know, it could be minority owned or it could be all Caucasian owned. It could be anything. And that's just where it's not specifically on social equity. So the first type of license is cultivation. That's growing a flower. Mm-hmm. Second one is manufacturing. That's turning a flower into a product. Then it's distribution and wholesaling. That's where you store the product and then transfer it to the retail. Retail was the most important for us. That's the storefront. You pick up the flower. And lastly is delivery. That's one that's going to be a sleeper because a lot of Jersey Shore towns around us opted out. Ocean City, Summers Point, they saying, hey, we don't want it here. But we can always start our business in Atlantic City and deliver anywhere in New Jersey. So that's one that's going to be real good right there.
There you have it. Mm-hmm. Mayor Marty Small.
Hold on. Before you cut us off, let me get some. If you want Atlantic City, if you want to come to Atlantic City, you want to do business, please call up to City Hall, 609-347-5400. We outside. We open for business. It's a partnership. Atlantic City's open. Let's work.
There you
go. And follow me on the gram. I'm Marty Small, I-M-M-A-R-T-Y, M-A-R-T-Y, SMALL for all things Atlantic City as well. But I got a parting gift.
Oh, thank you.
I want you to zoom in right here because I'm pushing my chips to the middle of the table in Atlantic City. See that?
Is that crypto chip?
City of Atlantic City, Mayor Marty Small Sr. And on the reverse side, you got that? It's a great day here in the city of Atlantic City. So, Envy, I thank you for betting
thank
on Atlantic
so much,
City.
Man.
How much are these chips worth?
I can't tell you. Oh, shots fired. He said nothing.
Thank you. Let me see.
I'm going to say this, though. You know, I appreciate you coming, and I see you sweating. So I wanted to give you something to wipe your sweat. Giants pride.
See,
towels, he just wipe your sweat.
He just got real disrespectful.
You know, so you can just wipe your sweat.
That's real disrespectful.
You know, just you know, I'll leave you with this parting gift so you can wipe your sweat. You know what I mean?
All right, since you want to go there, EAGLES, Eagles.
Where New York at?
My goodness. All right, well, shout to Mayor Marty Small for joining us.
Yes, and you know, Atlantic City is also building a $100 million year around water park at Showboat. So he wanted to make sure that you guys are aware of that. And he said, as part of his education for residents, they're going to have a trucking school for residents. That's going to be at Bedderfield in Atlantic City. And since we're talking about Bedderfield, Atlantic City is also entertaining a proposal of $2.7 billion. That is for Bedderfield and is centered around auto enthusiasts. So that's really dope.
All right. Well, shout out to Mayor Marty Small. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yeah, first of all, I want to salute Quinta Brunson, man. That conversation I had with Quinta Brunson will be out later today on my YouTube page at See the God, as well as the Hollywood Reporter YouTube page. So salute Quinta and everybody over there at the Hollywood Reporter for Emerging Hollywood. Shira Beera, what up, Shira? But my positive note is simply this: you can't make someone love you by giving them more of what they already don't appreciate.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.